Topic is going to be about shlichus lakatan, zechi lakatan. It's going to, of course, relate to halacha lemaisa. So Gemara tells us in Kedushin daf mem beis amud aleph. The Gemara is still trying to figure out the source of shlichus. We've been trying to do this for a couple of lot now. So the Gemara suggests it's around halfway down mem beis amud aleph. The Gemara suggests that maybe amar of gida amar av minayin sheshlucha sheadam kamoso. So the Gemara quotes the pasuk shenemar nasi echad mimate. Where one person was representing the entire matah, the entire shevet, when he's giving out the chelik ba'aretz, they'd be giving out, there'd be shlichus that would be taking place. So this is a source that one nasi, the nasi would represent the rest of the shevet, and that nasi would give out the different lands, divvy out on behalf of everybody else. So that's shlichus. So the Gemara asks, typically shlichus me'acha, so this is the source. The Gemara says, v'tizmer, does this make sense? Does shlichus who? Is this really shlichus? V'ha k'tanim labnei shlichus ninu. So Rashi points out that there are also ketanim who were getting a chelik ba'aretz there. They were dividing amongst all the different ages of people, whoever was in the shevet. Some were gedolim, some were ketanim. So you're telling me that the nasi was a shliach for katan? There is no shlichus lekatan. So look what Rashi says. Rashi says, v'ha habu nami ketanim, v'nochle ha'aretz, those who inherited the land, v'chiyazochim lehen b'tar shluchin bo. Were those who were inheriting the land, did it come in a mechanism of shlichus? V'halo ein shlichus lakatan. There's no shlichus lakatan. How do we know there's no shlichus lakatan? This is very important, Rashi. T'gave v'shalach v'shalcha ish k'siv, ki kach ish u'minei alfinan de'ein hakatan os shliach. It's a gzeres hakasiv, says Rashi. The pasuk regarding gittin, we saw this in daf mem alf amin alf, it says v'shalach v'shalcha an ish, when a man sends a get to his wife, so only an ish, katan. So there is no shlichus for a katan. The reason why this Rashi is very important, because you saw the machlokus achronim, what's the reason why ain't shlichus lakatan? So according to the Rabbi Kivi Eger and the Pnei Yeshua, they said because a katan lacks either das, or he lacks the ability to do any maisa, his actions don't really do anything, don't accomplish anything. So according to Rabbi Kivi Eger and Pnei Yeshua, that it was a svara as to why it doesn't work. So in a situation where you wouldn't need an appointment, there's no need for a katan to appoint a shliach, whatever the example might be. So that could be substituted. You could have Bezdin substitute the lack of das. A katan doesn't have das, but the Bezdin can apply the das if it's the reason. Again, if the reason for ein shlichus lakatan is because the katan lacks das, like Rabbi Kivi Eger and Pnei Yeshua, then a Bezdin could supply that das that it's missing. But if you assume like Rav Chanan Wasserman, he writes in Kovet Shirim, and it actually turns out this is Shitas Rashi, that's a gzeres hakasif. Across the board, ein shlichus lakatan, there's no questions, there's no logic here, then you would never be able to find the replacement at all for shlichus. The bezin can't substitute. The pasuk says, v'shalcha ha'ish, when only a man sends, but not a katan. There's no substituting. A katan can never have shlichus. So that's very important as a background as to why there's ein shlichus lakatan will then lead into why there would be, as we're about to see, there is zechia for katan. So again, it's either because of gzeres hakasev, which means across the board there's no shlichus, or because of a svara of a lack of das, there is no shlichus. But if it's a cause of lack of das, you could substitute the lack of das. So that leads into the next half of the Gemara, where so Ella the Gemara says, you're right. There is no shlichus lekatan. So what do we learn from the pasuk v'nasi echad v'nasi echad? So the Gemara says, Ella ki had the rava bar Rav Huna, the amarava bar Rav Huna, amarav gidal amarav, minayin shezochin la'adam, Shlo b'fanav. How do you know zechia works for a person when he, even when he's not present? Shenemar v'nasi echad v'nasi echad. That the nasi stood there to represent the rest of the kaal, even the katanim. How is he getting for a katan? He can't be a shliach for a katan. It must be through this new concept called zechus, zechia, zechus. That zlochen la'adam shlo b'fanav. So it's a new concept of zechia. So the question all the Rishonim are grappling with is, so what is this mechanism of Zechia? We learned all about Shlichas up until now, various sources from Truma, from Gittin, from Kachim, Karban Pesach. What exactly is Zechia? So, but again, we learn from this concept here of a Nasi Echad, of a Nasi Echad. How did one Nasi have the ability to give this family land, and that family land, and that family land? It can't be Shlichas because they're a Ketanim. It must be because of Zechia. So how does Zechia work? So this question, how Zechia works, really depends on how you understand why ein shlichus lakatan. So again, you probably saw there's a machlokas whether Zechia is mitam shlichus or Zechia is not mitam shlichus. So the simple reading of this Gemara here is Zechia mitam shlichus or Zechia la mitam shlichus?
Love.
Love, right. We said there's ein shlichus lakatan, But there is Zechiah to Katan. Sounds like they're two different concepts. That's a simple reading. And that's what the Rashba says, that Zechiah is not Bitam Shlichas. It's a whole new concept. We're introduced to a whole new concept. So what is this concept? What is Zechiah? So according to the Pashup Shad is, it's a new concept that's based on the Pasuk V'nasi Echad, V'nasi Echad. So the Ktos says it's similar to something called Yad. I have a Yad, we all have hands. So that hand, we're able to acquire something. We could pick up a Metziah, we could acquire a Matana, we could acquire a something we purchased. So too, Zechiah is supposed to be an extension of a Yad. That's what the Ketos says. Now you don't have to stick into the Ketos, you have to stick within that Yad. It could be just a new concept called Zechiah. But the simple reading of this Gemara is that this is working. Zechiah is La Mitam Shlichas. It's a whole nother concept. That's how the Rashba understands it. But the difficulty with this is there are many, many Gemaras that seem to indicate that Zechiah does work through the concept of Shlichas. And that's one example. If you look at Rashi, Rashi in Gittin Daf Tes Amud Beis, Rashi says, he's talking about a whole concept of Gittin. We don't need to get into the background here, but the line that I want to pull from this is the end of number 6. Rashi says, V'zochen lo le'adam shul b'fanav. How does that work? The Adan Sadi, we testify, we as Bezdin, we could attest, we know that a person, not talking, this is not referring to a katan, this is referring to in general how Zachin works. We know that if I'm not there, but I'm happy if Reuven picked up an object on my behalf, I'd be very happy. So if it needs me to make a shlichus, I'm not there to make a shlichus, so then Bezdin will say there's an implicit appointment of him being a shliach. I don't want to miss that opportunity of that gift I'm going to receive that Reuven's taking on my behalf. So therefore, you know, you're leaving from a, I don't know, from a party, a bar mitzvah, and they give out all these various gifts, and one kid has to leave early. So I want to get for my friend that gift for him. So he didn't make me a shliach, but I'm being a nice guy here. So of course my friend wants me to pick up that gift on his behalf. That's called the zechus. That's zachin la'adam shobafanov. So Rashi says that works through a shlichus. Even though I was never appointed, but Anan Sadi, we understood that he wanted me to be his shliach, and therefore it works through the mechanism of shlichas. So the question then becomes, if it's really Zechiah mitam shlichas, how do you fit that in the Gemara here? Gemara clearly says, ein shlichas lekatan, but yesh shlichas, rather yesh Zechiah lekatan. That goes completely against our Gemara. So how does Rashi understand our Gemara? Now before we fit this back into the Gemara, the Ketos says there is really another way to understand this position. Okay, right now we're saying one approach is, which is a simple reading of the Gemara, is Zechiah is lab mitam shlichas. Zechiah is a whole other concept. But then the other avenue is that Zechiah is mitam shlichas, which Rashi says is real shlichas. But the Ketos says it doesn't really mean shlichas here. It's just a model that we're using. You know, we're limited in what type of models we could use. Zechiah is a whole other concept. It's a gezeres hakasav, like the simple reading of the Gemara. The Pasuk says, V'nasi echad, nasi echad. That means Zechiah works, not through Shlichas. Why they're using Shlichas as the term, as Zechiah works through Shlichas, it's just a good model we could use, because everybody knows Shlichas. So Zechiah works similar to Shlichas, but it's not exactly Shlichas. It's really a Gezeiras HaKasav. That's a third approach now. So it's either Zechiah la mitam Shlichas, it's a new concept. Well, I guess not really, it's really going back to the other side. But let's say it's mitam Yad, or it's mitam Shlichas, or it's mitam Gezeiras HaKasav. So what's an afkamina whether Zechiah is because of Gezer Sakasav or Zechiah is through Shlichas? What's an afkamina that Ketos says? And remember? Could a Nachri pick up something? Could a Nachri do Zechiah for me? If we say that Zechiah, Zachin Adam, works through Shlichas, Ein Shlichas Lagoy. We already learned this a few weeks ago, Ein Shlichas Lagoy. We spoke about some exceptions when it comes to Shabbos. Amir La'akum might work through Shlichas. But generally speaking, Ein Shlichas Lagoy. So if Zechiah works through real shlichus, then he can't pick something an item up for me. But if Zechiah works because of a gezeres hakasav, nasi echad, there's no real mechanism to work with. There's no guidelines. So then it's very possible, says the Ketos, that even a nachri could be zachin la'adam shlobafanav. It's not in the world. It's not in the realm of shlichus. So now that comes back to the Gemara. How do you read our Gemara? If you really understand, like Rashi and Gittin, that Zechiah is mitam shlichas, our Gemara clearly says that ein shlichas lekatan, b'yesh is Zechiah lekatan. That means Zechiah is not because of shlichas. How do you fit that into the words of the Gemara? So the Ran explains as follows. The Ran makes an assumption. Number one is, let me ask you the question, is Zechiah a din deraisa or is Zechiah a din derabanan? Derabanan, you think? Okay. Any rise for this?
It's one or the other.
This is true. So Pashas of the Gemara is, it sounds like it's a real Gzer Sakasov. The Gemara quotes a pasuk. How do you? Right, it's a pasuk. Nasiyacha, nasiyacha means it's a real din deraisa. So that sounds like a gzeres hakasav, like the Kato says, it's a din deraisa that they have zechir.
Can't learn it from shlichus because he separates shlichus from zechir.
So exactly. So pashas if the Gemara is, it's really a din deraisa based on a pasuk, nothing to do with shlichus. So now we're bridging the gap a little bit, or really connecting the different questions. If you assume Zechiah is not because of Shlichus, so Shlichus isn't the model, that means it's based on a Pasuk. That means it's a Din Deraisa. But the Ran says, no, it's not really a Din Deraisa. Nasiyacha, Nasiyacha, he doesn't say this, but he has to understand this. Nasiyacha, according to the Ran, must be an Asmachta Ba'alma. Because the Ran says the whole concept of Zechiah, for Katan at least, is a Takana Derabonim. So now the Ran says, now the Ran really might hold that Zechiah really is deraisa, but just the application to a katan might be derabanan. Because if you look inside the Ran,
the smachta to alma is like an exaggeration.
No, smachta, it can be in other examples, but a smachta regarding a source in a pasuk means it's not a real source. So kind of an exaggeration elsewhere, but in this application it means it's not really, they found in a smachta, they were somich, they relied on a pasuk, even though it wasn't really a source, it was a nice hint to a concept that the Chachamim were discussing. So if you look at the Ran in number 8, halfway down, the Ran says as follows. The katan in the bowl. The katan mishum da'asei lechlau shlichus tiknu le rabbanan zechiah. Rabbanan were mesakein for katanim that they should have the concept of zechiah. Why? Because since a katan will get to that level of shlichus eventually when he gets older, so they gave him zechiah. Really, Ran says zechiah is mitam shlichus, and they gave that. They gave that as a zechus for the katan. However, he pulled back a little bit. Mihu lo tikinu le shlichus. They didn't go so far to give them the actual shlichus. Mishum de shlichus milsa alimasa. Because shlichus is a much stronger type of concept. Reading a little bit more in the Ran, because michi mate liyade de shliach. The moment the guy gives the shliach an object, lo matzi mishalech lemahader bay. He cannot go back. He cannot retract anymore. So if I appoint a shliach represents me more than a zachin. If I don't appoint you and you just zachin on my behalf without me appointing you, that's a weaker level than if I actually appoint a shliach. So Chachamim were trying to give katanim some extra kochos. They said, we're going to give you that zechiah, which is an outgrowth of shlichus. It works through shlichus. But it's a lower level. It's like a toldo. We have avos and toldos. We have avos and toldos when it comes to the world of Shabbos. We have avos and toldos when it comes to the world of Nezikin. We have avos and toldos when it comes to the world of Tumah. So toldos is typically a lower level. So yeah, zechiah is mitam shlichus, but it's not actual shlichus. It's a outgrowth of it. It's a lower level. It's a tier 2 shlichus. It doesn't have as strong an effect as actual shlichus. So when Chachamim were trying to figure out what to give the katanim, they said, we're going to give them zechiah, which is a low level shlichus, but we're not going to give them actual shlichus. And that's how the Ran reads in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, ein shlichus legoi, means we don't have actual shlichus legoi, but they do have zechiah, which is a tier 2 type of shlichus. And that's how the Ran fits it into the Gemara.
They have stairs that happen when if they find something it's not theirs. We say that so that the father can...
In terms of Metziah.
Right.
That's a whole other concept of how kinyan works for when the katan themselves, how they make a kinyan. That's a whole other topic. This is zechiah, some gadol who's being zoch on behalf of the katan. You're talking about a katan picking up a mitzvah, how that works in darkei shalom issues. That's a whole other concept. Has to do a dasa chers makne. There's no dasa chers makne when it comes to mitzvah, but that's a different topic. Fine. So that's what we have right now. Machlokas is zechiah because of shlichus, or zechiah is lab mitam shlichus. And then the Tosas Rosh and the Netziv, I just wanted to just wrap this up before we get to the Halacha Lamaisa. They both agree that the Netziv didn't see the Tosas Rosh, but they both are in agreement that there really are two dinim. I mean, it's not is Zechiah mitam shlichus or Zechiah is lav mitam shlichus. They're really both true, and it depends on the context. What does that mean? So the Tosas Rosh quotes the various Gemaras that seem to indicate different ways. Right, there's a huge discussion in Rishonim. I didn't get involved in the whole discussion. There's many Gemaras that indicate Zechiah is because of Shlichos, and many Gemaras that indicate Zechiah is not because of Shlichos. So how do you reconcile these Gemaras? Says the Tosas Rosh, they're talking about different scenarios. So look at number 9, the last line of the Rosh. This is the last page of the first set of Marmakomos. Tosas Rosh writes as follows. Alma Zechiah mitam shlichas. He quotes a Gemara that Zechiah works through the avenue of shlichas. Vaha de katan isle Zechiah ve'ein lo shlichas. Ah, so when then do we say the katan only has Zechiah and doesn't have shlichas? Haynu b'midei de isbe tzadchova. When there's some tzadchova. So when it comes to what's the gain for the katan, there are really three categories. There's something that's purely a zechus, there's something that's purely a chova, and then there's something in the middle that it's kind of gray, unclear. It could be a zechus, could be not so clear whether it's a zechus or a chova. These are the three categories. So when it comes to chova, certainly zechus doesn't work. Zechiah doesn't work for chova. Even shlichus doesn't work for chova, because if I send you off to do a job for me, and end up being to my detriment, I could say, I didn't want you to do la visi, I wanted to do la tukuni, the Gemara says. I wanted to send you as a shliach for my benefit, but not as a negative for me. So chova is out of the question. But then you have the next two categories, a pure zechiah, and then there's that gray area, which sometimes can be zechiah, sometimes a chova. Yeah.
What does Chazal say about, I can't remember the conclusion, what does Chazal say in the scenario of Beis Din being megayer a katan.
That's going to be next week's topic. Okay. We're not getting involved in so much, but next week we're talking about where a Beis Din appoints an apotropos. So the Beis Din has a certain ability to have an apotropos represent a katan in a similar way as Beis Din also can represent a katan, having extensions like that. So Beis Din and apotropos work at a whole nother level.
It's one of the sources, though.
Well, that's the next Gemara. We're going to see how an apotropos works and how Beis Din works also. It's a whole nother concept.
I was just referring to the specific Indian of a ger, where it's supposed to be a Jew, but Yisbei Chova, if a person doesn't keep all the mitzvahs, so...
Right, so they speak about that. We're not going to get heavily involved in that, but in that, one of the answers are that Beis Din has a super ability to do things, even if it could be a Chova.
Even if Yisbei Chova.
Exactly, so that's what we're saying here as well. What the Tosas Rosh and Nitziv say is, when there's a pure Zechus, when it's a Barur, that's clearly that it's going to be for the benefit of the Katan, so then he has the Shlichus, he has Zechiyah Mitam Shlichus. But if it's working something that's kind of a zechus, kind of a chov, kind of have both, it's a gray area, then he doesn't have the shlichus, he only has a zechiah. If you look at, let's look in the Netziv, the same language. The Netziv writes in number 10, this is the Meromi Sada, says the Netziv, ha'ikr, dizeh eino elo bezechiah she'eino barashu zechus. It's only true that we say ein shlichus lekatan when there's no real zechiah for him. Av abadavar she'barar shehu zechus. It's so clear that it's going to be for the benefit of the katan. Shayach afilu b'katan. Then a katan does have shlichus. He does have zechiah mitam shlichus. So those are the two different categories. There really are two dinim, according to the Tosas Rosh and Tziv, whether zechiah is mitam shlichus or zechiah is not mitam shlichus. If, again, it's so clear that it's for his benefit, then we could allow shlichus. We could have a strong, a higher level type of zechiah. If it's not so clear whether it's for his benefit or not, then it works through a lower level, that lower, the tier 2 mechanism of only zechiah, but not mitam shlichus. These are the two different dinim that are found in Tosas Rosh and the Netziv. So this is really just the tip of the iceberg. This is a huge, huge topic, just to kind of get you familiar with this concept of zechiah, mitam shlichus, and not mitam shlichus, ein shlichus lekatam. I want to bring it now to some halacha lemaisa. In the end of the day, we all paskin that yesh zechiah lekatam. That's how we paskin. And it's going to affect the halacha lemaisa. That discussion, which I brought as the second half of the Mamar Komos, about a bar mitzvah kid accepting a present on Shabbos. So it talks about, in general, accepting gifts on Shabbos, and how exactly do you give a bar mitzvah boy a gift on Shabbos. Growing up in my shul, Josh also grew up in the same shul as me, so the old rabbi, it was the second rabbi when we lived, Rabbi Gordon was there first, but when we got bar mitzvah, Rabbi Weil was there. Rabbi Weil used to give out, I think they probably still do this, it's been a long time since I was in B'nai Shurin for a bar mitzvah, but the rabbi would call you up, he'd say, Josh, please come up to the bima, and you go up in front of the entire shul after he spoke very nicely about you, and he'd hand you a gift. And the rabbi, I think I remember him saying that we were machne, we were zocha for the child beforehand, for the bar mitzvah kid before Shabbos, we gave it to him. As to not, so nobody should think that you actually gave a transaction, you gave a matana to him on Shabbos. That was what was going on. So I never understood what exactly he was trying to accomplish by this until I got a little bit older and started to learn a little bit. So that's the sugya. We're going to do the second half of how exactly works. Is one allowed to give gifts on Shabbos, and how do you get around the issue of giving bar mitzvah gifts on Shabbos?
Just a quick thing on the last thing.
Yeah.
Are you saying that, generally speaking, in the dinim of shlichus, we have to think about whether it's or not for the person's benefit or not, it's going to have a difference in the outcome.
Yeah, sure. If I appoint a shliach, and the shliach does something for me, represents me, and he really ruined my business, let's say.
Yeah.
So I say, I didn't ask you to be my shliach le'avusi, the Gemara says, to avusi lashon of, to make something, to destroy something. Yeah. I did it le'tikuni, to fix it for me. So you don't represent me if you're doing something to my detriment. Now, if it's something that you invested in a business that has a possible risk and it went bad, that's a different story. But if it's something that's so clear that's for my detriment, then you don't represent me. It severs that shlichus. That's what's going on. Okay. So let's discuss this Gemara again. A completely different, related, but completely different set of marmukamos now. The mission Beitza Be'ah tells us various halachas that you cannot do on Yontif or on Shabbos because of gzeiras. So, for example, it says you cannot climb a tree on Shabbos, as we know. It's the same thing, let's say you have a hammock or a swing that's hanging on a tree. You also can't go on one of those. If it's attached to the tree, that's not allowed. You can't ride an animal on Shabbos because you might rip off a branch and start to hit it. You can't go swimming on Shabbos because you might build a boat. And various, so you can't clap, you can't dance, all those things, which is a whole other topic. So all these examples, he says, you also can't be makdish. You cannot make something hektish on Shabbos. And you cannot be marich, which is another type of assessment of this person. I want to give the value of this individual. I cannot dedicate that on Shabbos to the Beis HaMikdash. Because these are, why? What's the reason? Because these are all types of mekach or memkars. When I'm makdish something, I'm transferring ownership from this table to now the gavoah, to Hashem. And Rashi explains, what's the problem of Mekach HaMemkar? Why can I do business on Shabbos? What's the big deal? Because Rashi says, firstly, davar. It's davar chol. It's doing mundane activities on Shabbos. And number two, there's a concern. I might want to write things down. I want to keep a tab of what I bought, what I sold, the transfer of money. So that's why Mekach HaMemkar is aser, doing any business. Even speaking business is aser. And then all the other examples of the Mishnah are aser as well. Makdish things, and being marich things, and separating truma. These are all similar to transferring ownership. So is there ever an exception where you're allowed to give a gift? Now, a gift is not really a mekach hamemkar. If I give you a gift, it's not buying and selling something, but the Rishonim point out it's under that rubric of transferring ownership. It's similar to mekach hamemkar. So are there any heterim for giving gifts on Shabbos? So the Beis Yosef quotes from Mordechai, number four, the Mordechai says, he was hitir lahaknosa b'yomtif mishum mitzvah. You're allowed to be makne something to an individual if there's a purpose of a mitzvah. What's an example? V'chein lulav v'esrog yotzin behem kol ha'am ayidei matana amnas lahachzir. So we all know, we buy a lulav and esrog, and we come home and we give it to our wives to shake the lulav and esrog, to bench lulav and esrog. Ah, the first day of Yom Tov, what's the halacha? You have to have the dim lekachtem lachem. You have to own it. So I didn't buy a lulav and esrog for my wife. Ezra probably would be happy if we did buy one, but we didn't, lemaisa. So we don't have to. So I'm makna over to my wife. Now it's hers. She's lachem. And then she shakes it, and she gets to say the bracha, and then she gives it back to me. But that's a clear violation of giving a matana on Shabbos, of mekach hamemker. How is that permitted? So the Mordechai says, because b'makom mitzvah, there's a heter. If there's a tzorech mitzvah, then it overrides the iser of matanos, the iser of mekach hamemker. It's also very halacha l'maisa, not as well known as the din of giving a dalam minim to your wife or to your kids. But there's another gemara in Sukkah that tells us that in addition to lachem, when it comes to Sukkah, meaning having to be yours, the gemara also says that matzah also has to be yours. You have to own your own matzah. So the Gemara says in the bottom of Laman Heyam and Alf and Masech HaSukkah, it says also that when it comes to challah, I can only be mafrish my own challah. I can't be mafrish your challah. It has to be Ariso Seichem, that you own it. Just like Lakachtem Lachem, you must own Dal Minim, you have to own the challah. But then the Gemara says you also have to own your own matzah. So Gemara says, what's the source? Does it say Matzaschem anywhere in the Torah? It doesn't say Matzaschem anywhere. So the Gemara says it's a Gzer Shava. It says Lechem Oni by matzah, it says lechem by challah. So through that gezeira shavas, just like you all have to own challah to be mafish challah, you also have to own the matzah, lechem oni. So now the Sfas Emes writes here, now people, the Sfas Emes wasn't only an author in Hasidus, he's also a big lamdan and posik. So the Sfas Emes has a very small comment here on that Gemara in Sukkah. He says, like, tzarachin, I don't have it in front of me, but tzarachin, I don't understand why no one's makbid on this on Pesach to be kone their own matzah. So the Baal Basi buys a matzah for himself. But what about everybody else at the table? How does that work? You're not, I wasn't makna over to you that matzah. So I think the Sfas Emes suggests, if not him, others suggest it, that no, when you sit at my table, you're a guest at my table, anything that goes on your plate is implicitly yours. It's my way of giving it to you. When I separate the matzah, I give you your matzah, that's implicitly yours. That's going to be yours to eat. But many of the Gedolim have practiced the following. What they said prior to the Seder starting, at some stage in the Seder, they said explicitly, they say, any matzah that you're getting, I mean makne over to you. To be yotze the shita of the Sfas Emes, the Gemara here, that you have to own it. I'm being makna over any matzah that gets to your plate. That is yours. That's lachem for you. And this way you can fulfill that din of owning the matzah and eating the matzah. Now again, for those all of us who don't do that, we still have that implicit understanding that anything I give to you automatically becomes yours to own. But the ideal situation to really yotze all shita is it's best to articulate all of that. How could you do it? It's yantif. Wait, how could you? It's yantif. Giving a matana and yantif. Same thing here. When it comes, let's tzorach mitzvah. The tzorach mitzvah of the matzah is permitted.
But I thought you have to do. First of all, you have to do it through somebody else.
No, no. That's a zechus. If the person's not present, zachen shlo b'fanav, you have to give it to some other party. If you're there, like any gift, this is yours. This is your matzah. I can just hand it to you. The idea of zachen, if you're not present, so it has to transfer someone else's ownership for that zechia to take effect. But to hand you something, to give it to you in b'fanav, there's no need for another party.
So then on the wine Shabbos, when you're bringing a bottle of wine to somebody, so why do you have to give it to somebody else?
You know, if you're giving it to the guy itself on Shabbos, so you're giving it to him. If you want to be zachen for the guy Erev Shabbos, right. So if you go to the guy's house and drop it off, that's the best thing to do. Drop it. If you don't want to do that, you could give it to your neighbor. The guy lives, you have time to run over to his house. You go to your neighbor. If you accept this on behalf of Reuven, I'm going to him for Shabbos, be zoche for him. So you give it to him, he picks it up, he's zoche on behalf of the person who's keeping.
Why do you have to do that if you're going to his house?
No, because you want to avoid, we haven't got this issue yet, but you want to avoid giving gifts on Shabbos. At the end we'll get to that point. Fine. So either way, according to the Mordechai, one is lechatchila allowed to give gifts when it comes to a mitzvah.
That wouldn't be tzarach mitzvah because he could just use his own wine?
So it could be. So we have to get to foods. So how do you define tzarach mitzvah? That's an important question. So certainly dal minim is a tzarach mitzvah.
Just have an extra dessert at the Shabbos Suda is a mitzvah on some level, but he could use his own dessert or not have dessert.
So. Okay. So it could be. So let's discuss. There is a, when it comes to Amir L'Akam. So Amir L'Akam is of course Asar and Shabbos, but if it's a tzorech mitzvah, so then it's permitted. So let's say examples of tzorech mitzvah. If you look in Rav Simcha Bar Makon in Sanctity of Shabbos, the English book on which Sanctity of Shabbos is all about Amir L'Akam, it's a very, probably the easiest one of the art school books. They're all easy, but it's a very nice read. It's important for everybody to read, get familiar with some of the halachos there. He has one section. He goes through every detail. What's considered tzorech mitzvah for the Suda? So if you really need it, let's say you have no food, you can have a goy to get food, to carry food from you from a neighbor. If there's no Erev, for tzorach mitzvah. If you have mamish, no food at all. So what's considered, so what's needed? So he goes through very detailed, well, you need wine or grape juice, you need challah, a piece of fish, a piece of kugel, and chicken. But anything beyond those bare minimum, then you can't get a fifth piece of kugel, a fifth type of side dish. You don't need chicken and meat. So he goes through in really great detail what's considered the needs, tzorach, and what's considered surplus to that. So an extra bottle of wine, some candy, some fruit, is that really considered a tzorach mitzvah to allow for this heter? It might be. I don't know.
And
I'm not sure the definition.
I'm not trying to be silly. Is the difference between Ashkenazi, Sephardim, and Bukharian? You go to a meal, it's very, very different. Does it matter?
I'm not sure. I don't think so. It seems whatever's
in custom?
No, because we're coming to the halacha of a suda. What's the need for to fulfill your suda of Shabbos? You need grape juice, wine, challah, and two pieces of food, whether it be a side dish and a chicken. That everyone agrees to, even though you might have a more lavish or different types of food. So what's considered tzorach mitzvah for this halacha? So Amir L'Akam is much more severe. So I could see him being much more restricting what you could allow Amir L'Akam. When it comes to giving matanos, this is a gzera. Matana is not really mekach memkar, so it might be more expansive. So that might be a heter of the tzorach mitzvah, of giving a bottle of wine, a bottle, a candy dish, some fruit. That might be all considered tzorach mitzvah. It's a possibility. I don't know. Now, the Magen Avraham, writes that he allows this really b'derech b'dochak. He's not so comfortable with transferring, giving gifts on Shabbos, even in the context of mitzvah. He says just to liyashiv haminag b'dochak. So he's not comfortable with this heter. He acknowledges the heter, but he doesn't prefer this heter. The Mishnah Berurah does, however, bring down this heter number six. He says matana mutter kishu l'tzarach Shabbos v'yamtiv. When there's a need, again, Binyamin's question. Again, I'm not sure how to answer that, but whatever that tzarach is, the Mishnah Berurah does find a heter.
Everybody everybody seems to say that you have to have it that day, because that otherwise there would be no idea of this need.
Yeah, if you're giving something that won't be, it's not usable until the next week, you give a fruit which isn't ripe yet, let's
so
say.
So showing there's no need.
Yeah, it has to be a tzarech for Shabbos Yom Tov. But we're not sure how expensive. Right.
No. If you bought a bottle of wine, and they just don't want the bottle of wine.
Right, so what about that?
Drink it.
Right, let's say they don't want it. So I'm not sure. We were talking about that the other day. No, you can. You can bring it out there. We're going to see the best option at the end, what the best thing to avoid all these shilas.
Best option is probably just to bring it before Shabbos. Right?
Bring it before or bizocha before Shabbos to someone else. One of those two. But if one does bring it, so let's say you know you didn't have a chance to. Or let's say you're the host and they brought it to you. So does that mean you shouldn't accept it? So we have, if it's Tzorech Shabbos, so there are heterim. But let's say you don't plan on using the wine, you don't drink wine, you don't like this bottle of wine. Whatever it is it considered Tzorech Shabbos? Not sure. I don't know. I don't know exactly. We'll find other etzos. Now the Shulchan Aruch Rav says, when it comes to food and drink, that's considered Tzorech Hayom. He does expand it. Food and drink, this is the bottom of number 7. If you look at that last line, I didn't bold it, but that very last line, let's do the last two lines rather. V'chein hanogin litein kelim b'matan l'chasen hadorish lo yafahim osim. Apparently it was a minhag to give gifts to the chasen on Shabbos. It wasn't a good thing, not a good practice. If you can't, Ella, the only exception is food and drink items that are needed for that day. That's the only matana that's permitted. Again, that still raises the question. Let's say you don't drink wine. You don't want to have the candy dish. You don't want to have the fruit platter. So those examples, if you don't want it, is that considered tzorach? Sounds like it might not be. So the guy brings you a bottle of wine. You don't drink wine. You don't bring the, you don't drink that type of wine. What are you supposed to do?
Creates a certain
Ava. If you don't accept,
you don't accept it.
Discord. Right. So Ava's animosity. Discord. You give him a gift and he says, no thank you, keep it to yourself, the guy's gonna be insulted.
Also there's another element that people don't like to get things for free. Not that it's for free, but they like to give a gift in return in order to be a little bit more reciprocitous.
Right.
Whatever. So by accepting it, even if I can't use it, or let's say I already poured my grape juice, and then they come over and bring the wine afterwards, and the grape juice is already in the Kiddush cup, but I still want to accept it so that they feel like they gave something, and that otherwise they won't have as much enjoyment from the Suda, because they'll feel like they didn't give anything.
I hear that as a sensitivity. Not sure if that's going to be. I haven't seen it addressed in the halacha, whether that's going to affect halacha at all. But there are other etzos to really balance that sensitivity, not to insult him.
You accept it in your head, but say in your head, I'm not going to be accepting this till after Shabbos.
Exactly. So that's the etzos. That's exactly what Yichabada says. Rav Yosef suggests what a person should do is the idea is you look at just the number, look at the last page of the Marmar Komos here. We'll do the last two etzos. What to do if a person does give you a gift on Shabbos? So it comes to Tzorech Mitzvah. So in order to, let's say for Mitzvah, you're certainly allowed to accept it. Meaning, for Dal and Minim, the only way you could shake the lulav on the first day is if you mamash own it. So that's certainly permitted. And when it comes to that case of Matzah, that you're supposed to own the Matzah, that too you're allowed to accept. Let's say it comes to giving gifts of food and wine and fruit platters. What are you supposed to do if he brings it on Shabbos? So it says the Chavadas, the last page.
Food and wine, not L'shem
Mitzvah. Yeah, exactly. So the last page, Chavadas writes in the bold there, oh, al tzad ahed hayotzer tov. The best thing to do, hanachon shadasha bar mitzvah yichavim bedaita. His question is, how does a bar mitzvah boy accept a present on Shabbos? So the rabbi probably knows the halachas, but if some other guy comes over to the house and I brought you a nice sefer or something. So what's a bar mitzvah boy supposed to do? He should be yichavim bedaita she'eino zocha b'matana al matzah Shabbos. He should have in mind, I'm not accepting this gift. Until after Shabbos will take effect. I had this actually recently. Josh's brother walked by my house two Shabbos ago. So Mikey was there, and I said, oh, we got this great book. Maybe you guys saw this, Yiddish Cup. Anybody get Yiddish Cup? It's a great book. You have it. It's a great book. I recommend all children and even adults to buy the book. It's great for the mind. It's like the Jewish Where's Waldo book, I would imagine. Where's Waldo? We're just looking for Where's Waldo.
Visual brain teasers.
What?
Visual brain teasers.
That's exactly what it is. So it was a great book. And so we couldn't put it down, myself included, and we all just sitting on the couch going through this book, Yiddish Cup. And I was finished with it. So Mikey's walking back. I said, here, take this. Your kids will love it. And I said, I'm not giving it to you as a gift. I'm giving it to you. You can borrow it now. So I gave it to him. I lent it to him. So I'm not sure if after Shabbos he acquired it from me, but either way I lent it to him because you can't really give gifts on Shabbos. So the best thing to do is if the guy tries giving you the gift, you should keep in mind, you don't want to insult him, but keep in mind that I'm not acquiring this book, I'm not acquiring the Matana, it's going to be a Sheil, it's going to be borrowing it for an hour, and then after Shabbos I'll make the full acquisition. But then the last part of the Chavad Das, he says, you know the best thing to do is for a Bar Mitzvah boy? Nikol Malcolm, he says, this is the bold at the end here. Nachon Yosef, really the best thing to do is Shagabai Beis Knesset Yizakelo HaMatana Me'er Shabbos Ayde Acher. Well, the Gabbai Tzedakah should be doing, the Gabbai Beis Knesset, rather, the guy who's in charge of giving the gifts, he should give it to another party, person, another party, on behalf of the Katan. Be'ofen she'agbiyas ha-matana, he lifts it up, the Yomer, he says, Ani zocha lo l'ploni matana zu, I'm being zocha on behalf of the Bar Mitzvah kid, de'kai melon zocha l'adam shlo b'fanav. So let's say the Bar Mitzvah boy's bow bayom was on Shabbos. He was only 13 on Shabbos. So that means Friday he was a Katan. He wasn't a Katan yet. Still, afilu adayin lo malu lo shloshes ve'shanav yom echad, even if the boy on Friday was only 12, he wasn't 13 yet, nimsu she'oden a katan, he was still a katan, afal pikein yesh lo zechia, we know because of the sugyan kedushin daf mem beis, a katan has zechia, you could be zocha on behalf of a katan even, so when you give it to the gaba, gives it to the other guy in shul, please pick this up for Reuven the Bar Mitzvah boy, that zechia works, because zachal adam shlo b'fanav, afilu Lekatan. So now to Ezra's point now.
Putting a shliach in the middle by get you?
Huh?
What does putting a shliach in the middle of you and the Bar Mitzvah boy get you?
So the way with Zechiah works is that if a person isn't there, that's the mechanism of it works. Shazachin Bifanov, Shazachin Adam, Shal Bifanov only works when I transfer it out of my ownership. So I need to give it to some other party for that zechus, that zechia, to take effect. That's how the din of Zechiah works. I need to give it to Ezra. Now Ezra's going to Konet on behalf of the Bar Mitzvah kid.
There's no issue.
So, exactly. So now it comes to our question. You're going to a guest for Shabbos, and he's hosting you, and you want to bring him wine, or a fruit platter, or a candy, whatever it is. So the best thing to do, not best thing, you have two options. You either drive it before Shabbos, or you could go over to your neighbor, who you're not going to, and say, just, I'm giving it to you, and please accept it on behalf of the host.
With your wife,
so that you can't do. You can't do it with your wife because the Mishnah Erevin says ishto kigufo. It's not really leaving your ownership.
About your
own child, over Bar Mitzvah, you're allowed to. You're over Bar Mitzvah, you're allowed to. So I had this Shiloh once. It was actually 2 years ago, almost to the date. Sorry,
daughter also.
Yeah. So 2 years ago, Aser B'Teves, 2 years ago, I was in Eretz Yisrael with my wife. We went on a very nice vacation there. Well, we thought it would be a very nice vacation. But it turned out, Aser B'Teves, it snowed. There was a blizzard in Eretz Yisrael. It was Erev Shabbos. I woke up Friday morning to go to shul. A huge tree came down 2 feet in front of me. So I walked back to my apartment and just stayed inside Davin there. First time I missed the Shacharis in a minute in a very, very long time. So that Shabbos, right before Shabbos, they said the Erev was down in Yerushalayim. So you couldn't carry. So that means you couldn't even carry in the apartment building either. You need an Erev there as well. So I wanted to make an Erev Chatzeros in my building so I could carry even in the hallways. People don't know that, but even the hallways in an apartment building, you can't, a hotel is different. But in an apartment building where each person owns apartments, you can't carry in the apartment. So I wanted to create an Erev in the apartment building, in the hallways, in the apartment building. I wanted to create make an Erev Chatzeros there. Problem is, there's only my wife and I. We were the only ones there, and I didn't know any of the neighbors who were there to be zoch on behalf. So Erev Chatzeres works. I'm being zoch on behalf of all the different people in the apartment building. I'm being zoch that we have one Erev which allows us to carry in this our apartment building. But there's no one there to be zoch. I couldn't give it to my wife, and therefore I was stuck. I couldn't create an Erev Chatzeres. So that Shabbos, we couldn't walk out of the apartment because we didn't have a key, and the door locks automatically. So my wife was stuck in the apartment all Shabbos, and 2 minutes prior to Shabbos beginning, I went across the street to Davin Mincha, lights went out, ran back home. We had no heat, but for some reason, the way it works in Israel, the half the apartment was working, the other half wasn't. So the fan was working in the apartment, but no hot air was coming out. So it was blowing air conditioning the entire Shabbos. So we were freezing the entire Shabbos, and we were stuck inside. And my wife's mom is freezing cold. I was going to shul back and forth. She was stuck inside. Finally, Mincha time came. And I paskin that since it wasn't Rosh Hashanah Rabbim in Yerushalayim, it's only at best, it's only a karmelis. And if you carry Ayidei Shinoi, I told my wife, not me, I told my wife, put the key in her sock, so she's carrying Ayidei Shinoi in a karmelis, which is a shvus to shvus. Shinoi is one shvus, and karmelis is a second shvus. The makam tsar, and the Gemara says, based on actually yesterday's daf and bamitzia and daf yomi, kol cholin eitzat tzina, everyone's considered ill with respect to cold, and I'm telling you, it was freezing cold in that apartment, it was snowing. So we walked outside, and she put it in, we weren't sure where we were going exactly. So we walked to Mincha across the street from the house. We happened to see some of the boys from here, from DRS and from Shul. Judah Klein was there, and Isaac Rosenman happened to be walking. Oh, Zvi was also there. They were walking to Shul, and they took us back to Isaac's apartment where they actually had heat. So that was the whole Maisa. Either way, I got stuck with this because I couldn't be Zocha to say the Acher to create the Erev Chatzer. So that's why the whole issue happened.
I didn't know there wasn't any Chatzeris in the apartment.
They weren't from people in the apartment.